All right, so we're going to keep going on with the month of Thanksgiving. And last week, we looked at gratitude. This week, we're going to look at Thanksgiving. And so I titled this week's A Heart Full of Thanksgiving, hashtag blessings and beyond, but I don't want that to be taken out of context. So with what we talked about, we know we live in a world that's really full of strife, conflict, trials and tribulations, uncertainties, right? More today than ever, we're like, what is tomorrow really going to bring? What's that look like? And when are we going to be bombed? Or when is Russia going to do this or China? And so we're living in this mass chaos that we can lose sight of basically what we have now. I mean, who's all guilty of doom scrolling is what they call it, or looking at the news and going through all the awful stuff that's happening. I get caught up in that. And I get so caught up in that that I get bitter, right? You kind of get in a weird funk if you do it all day long. Some people even get to the point that they start believing these conspiracy theories. However, we need to keep track and we have to cultivate a heart that is full of thanksgiving because we have to appreciate the doors that's been opened for us and the blessings that are in our lives. We can't get caught up in all these things in the future. We know what Revelation says. We know what the Bible says. But we have to stay in today, right? We have to stay focused in today. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I'm going to pray real quick. Father, Lord, just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the dare to share. Thank you for the people that helped the ministry. Father, just thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the path that you're giving us, Father. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. But thank you for forgiveness. And thank you for Jesus, Father. Just thank you for what he's done on the cross and what he did while he walked this walk in the ministry of his life for 3.5 years. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Some versions say a little bit differently. Does anyone in here have a version that says anything a little bit differently? First Thessalonians 5:18. Okay, so in everything. So the version that I looked at just says give thanks. But give thanks, it's in everything. So when we're looking at the verse and we're breaking just this one part of this verse down, it's really essential that thanksgiving is the focus here. It's essential because as Christians, do we go before the Lord with a thankful heart, right? But if we look at it, it says in everything. Miss Mary said in everything, give thanks. Let's think about this for a minute. We don't give thanks for everything, but in everything we give thanks. So think about that. So it's not necessarily everything that we have achieved or what we've been given or blessed with. That's not what happens. It's in everything, that's where thanksgiving happens. Okay? So we recognize that God is sovereign. That's a big word saying he's just the master of all. God is sovereign. And his hand is in charge. There's not anything, there's nothing that happens in today's world that God says, "Whoo, I didn't know that would happen. I didn't think that would happen." He knows all, so he's sovereign. So there isn't a blind fate or chance or luck. He knows. He knows all. And so when we think we have a chance at something or we look at luck, we base that off the statistics of chance. And researchers put chance at a 25% success rate. So it's a low number. So God does not lowball numbers. He knows all. So he is sovereign. And so in this verse, Charles Spurgeon, I like going back to Spurgeon because he was a good teacher. He was a really good teacher. And there's some individuals that don't like Spurgeon, but for me, he resonates with my heart. He says, when joy and prayer are married, their first child is gratitude. I love that. So when we put these two together, joy and prayer, thanksgiving, then the byproduct is gratitude. And so we get a grateful heart. And sometimes we have to practice this gratitude, just as we practice when we talk about what are you grateful for, what are you thankful for today, or what went well today, or whatever you look at it as, but we're called to be thankful in all circumstances. Now, this is the part where people separate, in all circumstances. So when things are going well, be thankful. When we face trials, be thankful. Why? Why the trials? Because thanksgiving in the trials, it's not just about recognizing the good in your life. That's easy, right? When things are going well, that's easy to recognize and be thankful for. But it's about recognizing the source of all these things and the blessings of who did them, right? So our Heavenly Father is the focus upon the praise and thanks. So we know that when trials and tribulations come, that could be used as a form of testing. It could be used as a form of discipline. But you're going to grow through these trials. And it's these trials that get you more closer to a grateful heart. And sometimes those trials really take someone leaving this earth before you're truly grateful for them, right? And so sometimes it comes in death, and sometimes it comes in different types of losses. But it's about recognizing the source of those blessings, giving thanks to our Creator, giving thanks to our Heavenly Father. So, like I typically do, I have to break this down. It's one scripture we're focused on, and it's not even the full scripture, but there's so much there. So if we have a thanksgiving type of heart, and that becomes daily practice mixed with joy and prayer, we know gratitude is the byproduct, and we talked about that last week. So we're going to talk more about gratitude in a deeper aspect, so this way we can start to apply these things in our life and start coming to the Lord with thanksgiving. Not just requests, right? It's just to sit there and think, lay your head on the pillow. Lord, thank you for my family. Thank you for allowing me to operate throughout this day. Thank you for guiding me. Thank you for directing me. In Jesus' my name, amen. Without any petition or request of anything. Just thanks. But gratitude deepens our relationship with God. We all want to be closer to God, right? Some people, we talk that they go to worship music. Some people go to journaling. Some people go to reading scripture. Some people, whatever. Twirl flags. It's their form of worship. Coming here as a service is worship. Reading books that are faith-based. That's worship. But gratitude in that form of worship and way we operate, when we take time to give thanks to the Lord, we draw closer to Him. You know, have you ever bought someone a gift and they didn't really say thanks, but you knew they appreciated it, but you still didn't hear thanks? You're kind of like, right? So we want to have that part. If we want to have thanksgiving, we know we're made in His image, so thanksgiving is a vital part of it. So we also, in this gratitude, in this relationship, we acknowledge that all good things come from Him for sure, but this is where gratitude becomes an act of worship. It's connecting us with the Creator on a profound level that no one can take away from you. Even if we lived in a country where we'd be persecuted for a Christian, they cannot take away your thanksgiving. They could take away the scriptures. They could take away your music. They could take away your pens and paper. But they can't take away your grateful heart. And I love that. See, Psalms 73:28 says, "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." I love that. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to proclaim, just as that girl did in that video, thought her friend was in hell, and next day knew it was a dream, and she woke up and she, "I just want to talk to you." She wants to proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to tell people of the good deeds, not in a boastful way, but God is that good, and I'm grateful for Him. But gratitude changes our perspective. Instead of focusing on what we lack, we have a heart full of thanksgiving, and that shifts our attention to what we do have versus what we don't. But gratitude, it also fosters this contentment. So in a world that consistently promotes and creates discontent, we have the abundance of everything, but yet our kids are more anxious and more isolated and more lonely than they ever have been. See, this gratitude fosters a sense that God's grace will sustain us. And I think that's powerful for these young ones to know that contentment, in turn, frees us from this endless pursuit of materialistic possessions or identity. But we just rest in Him and His sufficiency. But gratitude invites joy and peace. Because how many Christians do you see walking around that have no joy or peace? But the act of thanksgiving, this and gratitude fosters the joy in our hearts. Because when we count our blessings, not that $1 million check we want to come, but when we see the blessings we have in our life today, the right now, the more this experiences, this kind of expands the sense of well-being in our lives. Because when I'm focusing on the people that are here versus focusing on the people that are not here, my heart gets warmed and full of joy that transcends the circumstances that I may be facing. So gratitude also multiplies these blessings. So we think about the blessings in our life, and when we appreciate these blessings, it seems like we receive them greater. We enjoy them more. It's not that God grants us more materialistic things or possessions, but our awareness here and here of what He's blessed us with in our life grows. And the more you see it and the more you focus on it, the more you get overwhelmed by the goodness of His love. But the more you also grow of being receptive of His blessings. I've seen people that have been blessed and they don't see it and they're not receiving it. But when they have a heart full of thanksgiving, they start seeing it and they receive it. But here, gratitude also leads us beyond ourselves. We were talking in Bible study that the greatest demonic act today is called self. So with a heart full of thanksgiving, it compels us to look beyond our own needs, but also our own desires. And last night and this morning was a great example of it. I love it. I love seeing people inconvenience themselves to come and pitch in and be part of. And the result of all this is it was full of blessings. It was full of individual conversations with little people and individual conversations with big people. And those conversations come around with hearing stories that weren't expected. So when we see this, we see as one program Dare to Share, but the greater working of the Lord was instilling blessings. And those blessings can potentially multiply the more we receive them. But also, we become more aware of our needs and others' needs. So then we're going to start engaging in these acts of service with compassion. So if I have a thankful heart full of gratitude towards the Lord and what He's blessed me with, then that's going to go outwardly. It's going to go outwardly to the people and the community around us. And we had a great example. The kids went out and they were pouring outwardly with little things. Monetarily didn't really add up to much, but the effort and time and prayer that went into them did. To the point where one was handed to a young lady and her week was horrible and she just started crying. So these acts of service can almost be a lifeline. We think, who wants to be a millionaire? Can I call a friend? Can I use a lifeline? So serving in a ministry should be a lifeline for others. You're not serving in the ministry for you. You're serving in the ministry because of Him. Because when it's Him-focused, then this is going to be outwardly. But when it's this focused, yourself, then it's just going to be inwardly. So as we reflect on these principles, and what I talked about tonight is it's rooted in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. But will you go back, Brent? Will you read the starting of 5:18? Read the whole verse for me. Yeah. Okay, one verse before that. One verse before that. So there's always precepts. So we're commanded, in a sense, to always be joyful, right? And to always be in prayer. So once again, joyfulness, right? And thanksgiving creates gratitude. So joyfulness and prayer creates thanksgiving and gratitude. So those two are the precepts. So are you going to the Lord joyfully? Are you going to the Lord in prayer? Because the Holy Spirit should convict you to look at the blessings that God's given you. But when we think of Thanksgiving in this month of November, this is not just a one-a-day-year event. We're doing it all for November, Thanksgiving and gratitude sermons, but this is a should be a stance of daily practice in your heart. It should be something that you look forward to daily. It becomes habitual, so it shouldn't feel like it's awkward or unique to your life. But in every circumstance, let us remember to give thanks, even in the worst days. Okay? So we need to align ourselves with God's will. Jesus role modeled this, right? Jesus lived His life and He didn't say, for Jesus' will, this be done. He said, I'm going to do the will of my Father. Jesus always gave credit to the Father. And we should always give thanks to Him as well. So let us recommit our lives to the fullness of gratitude. So if your day has ended on a dull note and it's just been a horrible day and a horrible week, end tonight on something you're thankful for. And if I look around this room, I see several reasons to be thankful. But we also need to cultivate the spirit of gratitude. So cultivate means you have to do some digging, right? Because we get into autopilot. Use the example, Emily, she's in my day, in my daily life, all day, every day usually, minus work. She comes home and she does amazing things. But if I don't stop and say, I'm grateful for the blessings that you instilled in my life by being a wonderful wife, do you think she would get bitter or resentful over time? Our thing is we say we appreciate each other all the time. We make it a point to talk about it. And so we should do the same thing with the Lord, is if we're encouraged to talk to each other about what we're thankful for, then we should go naturally to our Heavenly Father. But if we cultivate the spirit of gratitude, we have to remember that God's love and grace will perpetually pour into our lives because God is love. But we also know God is just. And we often forget that with God is love, that we miss on the points that we talked about, that God is wrathful. That God understands that if we stay set apart from Him, that there is hell. And that's a real place, not a fairyland. And that video reminded the importance of sharing Christ and the blessings in your life, because you don't know who's going to go in a car wreck tonight and you get that video phone call. I don't know where I am. You're a Christian. You know where I am. Why didn't you share Jesus? You knew my grandma died, but you never did anything to reach out. But with this grace and love that God pours into our life, it's to lead us beyond anything that we can fathom, right? It's to lead us beyond anything that we can fathom, and it's to experience His boundless blessings and His endless love. That's what I love Jesus, because He never did stop loving. We talked about that in Bible study. Jesus still served the one that betrayed Him. So when we look at the month of Thanksgiving, we think about gratitude, and we think about all these things, I just pray that my prayer for you is that you go home, or as you're thinking right now, that your brain's turning and thinking about all the blessings in your life. Even if your bank account says negative 2 cents, or maybe even negative 300, wherever you're at, you're still blessed because you have a chance and the ability to offset that deficit. But the biggest deficit that's been offset is the one that Christ did on the cross, the day of justification for you. That we, if we say we're a Christian, that means we're Christ-like, little Christs. That our life should show these gratitudes and blessings, and even in the moments of trials. That if we get disciplined, we know it's because we have a good Father. But what we have to remember, that with Jesus dying on the cross and the day of justification, it put us on a path of sanctification. And this is the path to where we start growing and looking like Christ. So if your goal as a Christian is to grow and be Christ-like, then why can we not share Him daily? This is the greatest blessing, and this is the greatest thing that could be sitting in our heart that's full of thanksgiving, is what Christ did for us on the cross. So I'm going to ask you one thing. And it probably won't pick up on the microphone, so don't feel. What's one thing you're thankful for today? Ministry family, what's one thing you're thankful for? Frank? Mary? Nick? Amen. Link? What are you thankful for? Dina? Caden? Awesome. So the people that are around him, that's the same. I'm thankful for the opportunity that I'm not like what I once was. And I'm thankful to be able to be excited to come here, like, and to grow and to learn and to talk about Christ. But I like the environment that's here because, like you all said, it's safe, but yet it's accountable, right? So let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you so much for your Son. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you for faith. Thank you for not giving up on us when we are wayward. Father, thank you for loving us when we're not thankful. Thank you for loving us when we act like entitled children. Father, also forgive us for where we fall short. That forgive us for the sins that we think we try to hide that you know. Father, draw those out of our hearts and into the light, that we don't have to secretly hold on to these sins any longer, that we surrender these to you today. You know this. We can't hide from you. But Father, give us the courage to boldly proclaim your name and your Son, Jesus Christ, and to cleanse us from all habitual sin in our life. But Father, give us the courage to come here to openly worship freely, but yet to love individuals as they are. But do not stray away from church discipline and accountability. Because hell is hot. Hell is real. And Father, forgive the church and forgive us for when we fail and fall short of preaching that message, sharing that message. That as we get called to the Great Commission because of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we go out and joyfully and prayerfully share the gospel. And in all aspects, we give thanksgiving to you in a humble and grateful heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.